Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Kenyon Petty, and I work in a school. One of the very first things that I wanted to tell everyone is a little bit about myself. The fact that I'm kind of stepping out of my comfort zone to do a podcast. Not sure if a lot of people will listen to it, but I think that getting the information out there about school, to parents, to community members, to stakeholders, because there's so much more going on than what you see. And I think that I just want to highlight those differences. So welcome to School Stuff Simplified. I really wanted to talk first about my background. I am just an everyday person. I grew up in a very small town, a rural community, and I actually work at one of the schools that I attended. So I think that having that community tie and the fact that I am in a rural setting, a lot of things that we're going to talk about may not apply to more urban areas. But I think ultimately everything that I do talk about and I bring guests to come and talk about, there's some facet of it that exists in all schools. So I grew up in this rural community. I went through school here and I still live here today. And I think that that's one of the reasons why I think it's so important to get the word out. One of the things that I've struggled with as an educator is that there are so many parents or community members who maybe they either support us or they don't. And I don't know if it's the same way with your community, but I think that there is a divide. And we have some support here, but there's a large group that doesn't really support what's going on. And I don't think it's because anybody has ill intentions towards our school. I think that it's just a lack of understanding. So through this podcast, I really hope that parents, community members can listen to it and truly understand all of the things that go into school. If school could be successful, if students could be successful because of the care and love the teachers give, then this would be one of the most outperforming districts in the state. But there's so much more to it. There's legalities, there's privacy, there's things that we can't talk about that a lot of parents don't really understand. So, but I'm jumping ahead. So I graduated from the high school in this community and I went on to college. I currently have a doctorate in educational leadership. I taught at our high school. I taught English language arts for 8 years, I believe. And then on my ninth year, I was hired to be an assistant principal at a junior high school. And I served at the junior high school for 2 years as assistant principal. After that, I was hired to be the principal at an elementary school, and I truly loved that experience. But to me, it was giving me a view of high school, like the middle school level and the elementary school. So some of the things that I say and some of the things that I talk about, I've been exposed to all grade levels, K through 12. My doctoral research was best practice progressive discipline concepts at the elementary level, but I've taken the things that I've learned and applied here where I currently work as the principal of the junior high school that I was an assistant principal at. So very confusing. So I'm about to start my 13th year in education. And if it wasn't for education, my life definitely would have taken a completely different turn. I truly, truly enjoy what I do. And if I didn't enjoy what I did, and you educators out there know, there's no reason to stay in it. It's a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of dealing with adverse relationships with some students and some families. It's the constant demands of I don't want to say our county office. Our county office is very supportive, but, you know, higher-ups and, you know, different mandates, different trends. Education is always changing. You know, you go from No Child Left Behind, and you have all of these things now that we're focusing on social-emotional learning, and now we're moving on to whole child. So there's different trends that you have to continually study for, and it's not just you get your degree and you become a teacher. You constantly have to update things. So But yeah, I truly enjoy what I'm doing, but I'm hoping again through this podcast that parents, community members will be able to listen to it and be like, oh, that's why they have to make that decision. That's why they have to do it. I'm going to do a mixture. I'll do some talking. I truly want to have some fantastic guests on here and then maybe some discussion groups. So if you're a newish administrator like I am, hopefully you can listen to it and you can kind of empathize or connect with what we're saying and maybe come up with some ideas about how you can bridge the gap between school and family. So one of the first things I want to talk about, so it is July 11th. Yes, July 11th. and I am here at the school and the only other people here are the custodians. And I always get a lot of questions like, what do you do over breaks in the summer? Because in my district, the principals, we work pretty much all year. I could give you exact days and all that, but we're here all the time. We work all the time. And it's during the summer that I actually get most of my work done. I am able to review data for incoming students. We fine-tune schedules. We come up with ways that we can continue building the climate of our school. Because positive climate is connected to positive student achievement. So I'm really trying to find some new and creative ways because I feel like in education, we constantly have to reinvent ourselves. So I really enjoy the time where I can sit and not be interrupted. You know, when the kids are here, I'm all about the kids. I'm all about the teachers. When the teachers are here, the same thing. But when I'm by myself, that's when I truly get to focus on things to help make our school better instead of the day-to-day operations. So that's in a nutshell kind of what I do during the summer. But we're also gearing up and getting ready for our open house. A lot of people come to open house and they're like, oh, well, that's just an event. I got my kid's schedule. I know exactly where to go. But it's more than that. It's some parents, the only time that you will see them is at open house. That is understandable. We have several families who work two or three jobs. They're not able to volunteer at school or be a part of school. So open house is the time where I can say, here is all the information you need to know. Here is who you need to contact for this. So it's also preparing for that. One of the things that I'm doing a little differently this year is traditionally we've put a lot of things online, but it's been in several different places, like our website, our social media. The kids will, you know, bring some stuff home. I send messages to our families through our data platform where that collects all the student information. So I'll send out a message for that. But I really wanted to have one like old school packet that has all of the information in it. So that way parents can go back and they can revisit some of the information. Like let's say a month down the road, they, you know, their kid normally rides the bus, but now they need to pick them up and they don't know the procedures. So I just wanted to have all the information in one place. So I've also been preparing for that. Right now I'm sitting in my office. Over on my board, I think we have items, and I'm gonna kind of look, that we're going to send home in our open house packet. Of course, it's going to be the student schedules, which is always a great idea. You want them to be able to not have to find the teacher, what teacher they're in, and then go directly to that teacher's room, and they don't know where it is. So I like putting it in the open house packet. So when parents come in and they check in, we can just give them the packet that tells them where they need to go. We are going to have our standardized test reports. Those are going to go home because, you know, you take it at the end of the year and then nobody ever really follows up with it. So parents don't know how their students did. So we're going to have that. I also have, of course, you know, the residency forms, the nurse form, cafeteria. But I also have created maps with the help of my assistant principal, which he did a fantastic job with that. I actually didn't help that much. He did it. It was great. But he has aerial photos of the school and arrows of where people need to go to pick their children up in the morning and in the afternoon and kind of outlines that process. We're also going to have like the technology information. So if your district is anything like mine, we have a platform that students belong to. It's their learning management system. And then parents can also have access to it. So we're going to make sure that we include that information in the open house packet, because I live in a community where not all of our parents or even grandparents that are raising grandkids are technologically savvy. So we have to make sure that we walk them through that process. We're going to go ahead and give the tutoring flyer that we offer after Labor Day. I'm going to include a welcome back newsletter, just welcoming everybody, because this is going to be my second year as principal here at this level. So there are some incoming students that don't know who I am. So I'm going to have a welcome back newsletter. And then also, we are creating these magnets. When I was in school, we had these giant magnets that had school calendar on them. So what we've done is created a couple of QR codes. One is going to be if you want to join PTO, because I truly, truly need a PTO right now. If you're listening, you're one of my parents, please email me. And then the other thing is information about who to contact. Like, it has the list of our counselors. It has the nurse's information, the administration's information. It tells them how to email any teacher using the first name, last name, and then, of course, the rest of our email addresses. So I've included that on the magnet. So there's just a lot of information, and I think that parents will benefit from it. So moving on, besides that, I really think that those are the things that I'm trying to prepare. I think as a new principal, when I came in, I was sitting alone during my first summer, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. There's so much to do. What do I do? So hopefully this provides a little direction, making sure that you know what students are struggling, you know what students have identified what we call flags in our student data collection system. Like, if a student has a 504, if a student has an individualized education plan, if they are tiered in the MTSS process, if they're gifted, if they're an English learner. So create those spreadsheets, find those students that have multiple flags, because they're going to affect you the most when it comes to your end of the year state school report card. So all students are important, parents. Do not get me wrong, but the students that we really need to make sure that we can get back on track are the ones that are academically struggling. They don't speak our language natively, or are high achievers who may get bored in school. So we need to make sure that we're providing those enriching opportunities for them. As for students that don't have flags, they are just as important. But you do need to know who your kids are that may need accommodations and extra help with assignments. If you can provide that to your teachers, that will help them. I remember when I was teaching at the high school level, and then our special ed coordinator would bring me all the students that have IEPs. Then we would have a 504 coordinator, which was typically either a counselor or an assistant principal, and they would bring us all the 504 paperwork. So I like keeping it on a spreadsheet that's just quick and to the point, so teachers can go to one place to find that information for the students that they teach. So that's also something you can do. I also recommend walking your building. When no one is here, that is the best time to see paint that's been chipped. I noticed recently outside of my school, there's an exit that no one uses. And I happened to just go outside to kind of look at the area, because we have an anthill problem. And I looked up, and like, the paint was chipping and falling down in the sidewalk. So that's something no one would have noticed. So you need to walk your building. You need to figure out the state of it. How do parents see your building? How do students feel in your building? And address those things. One of the things that I'm doing this year with the help of my district office is we are going to have some branding and decals on the windows, which knocks two birds out with one stone. You can actually promote your school and make it look aesthetically pleasing on the outside and inside. But for the outdoor windows and doors, it's a safety thing. It kind of covers up everything that you need to look, so nobody can look inside and see students walking around in school. So it looks nice and it protects kids. So we have a lot of that going on right now. Look at your furniture, your desks, your bookshelves. How dilapidated are they? See, you know, if you need to budget for it for the school year, the next school year, get a plan of when things need to be replaced. You know, that's one comment on our climate survey that students indicated, is that the desks were, they didn't match, which is fine if they don't match, but they didn't match in the fact one was so old and dated and faded, and one of the arms was missing. Which we have several desks like that we're working on replacing. And then some were like table structured, like an individual desk with a chair. And to the student, they noticed it and that mattered. So we want to look for all of those little things. Also, review your master schedule and student schedules 100 times. The start of this school year was extremely rough. I didn't realize I was getting the job here or transferring to this level until, I want to say it was 3 or 4 weeks before school started. And if you work in education, you know that's not a lot of time to plan for an entire school. So we had issues with our schedules, and that went on for 2 weeks, the first 2 weeks of school. So really our students lost 2 weeks of instruction. So look at all of those things. And for parents, this is a message to you, is to be patient. Once you start listening to the podcast and you hear all the things that are expected of teachers, just be patient. And if there's an issue, reach out to the teacher immediately. You know, there's always that chain of command, and I'll do a separate podcast on that. But just know your administrators, they go in and they observe classrooms and do things, but that teacher is with your child all the time. So they know your child more than anybody. So start with them. Don't automatically feel it's going to be a combative or defensive situation. And then if you don't get the answers you need, that's when you move on to your assistant principal, and then it moves up to the principal. And that way more people are aware of the situation doing it that way. But be patient at the beginning of the year. You know, teachers are getting to know kids. Our kiddos are getting to know us. And sometimes first impressions may not be the best, but give it time to build that relationship, because that's actually teaching your child how to deal with maybe somebody that they don't really like their personality that much. They're doing their job and they're teaching and doing everything, but maybe they're not that warm, friendly, because they're going to run into that when they get to high school, when they get to college, when they have a boss one day. So, you know, being patient and kind of sticking with that is really a benefit. Also, you know, if there's something going on in the classroom that you think is beyond just my kid doesn't like their personality, you know, talk to somebody, communicate with somebody. I've had parents that let it fester all year, and then the last 2 weeks of school, they tell me what's been going on all school year. Go ahead and reach out early, because you could be preventing a problem. So just reach out. And then I think that, you know, this first podcast has kind of been all over the place. But I just wanted to, one, introduce myself, kind of explain what my podcast is going to be about, and invite parents, educators, community members to listen so you can get an inside look at what we do at school. So, I hope everyone continues having a great summer, and thank you for watching the very first episode, hopefully one of many more to come, of School Stuff Simplified.